Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day, a good day to be together in the house of God and together across the miles with those of you who are joining us over live stream. We know and trust that the Spirit of Christ unites us in this time of worship, and I am so glad to be with all of you in this time. I would invite you, if you are with us this morning, to let us know that by registering your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link there you can click on to let us know that you're here. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you would pass those down and back again and maybe pay attention to the names of others sitting on your row. And if there's someone you don't know, be sure and reach out the hand of friendship after the service. It's always a joy to welcome those who might be worshiping with us for the very first time. If you are visiting with us, we hope that you'll share an email address or a mailing address and allow us to be in touch with you and share more about who we are called to be in this city as we live out God's calling. If you've been worshiping with us for a while and have been praying about and thinking about becoming officially a member of the congregation, we have one more membership class before the summer. It will be the four Wednesday nights in April over Zoom from 6 to 7 p.m. And you can register for that class at westendumc.org/membership and take part in that four-week class. A few other announcements as we gather. Next Sunday afternoon at 4:30, we will have a choral concert, a Lenten choral concert that includes our adult choirs and an orchestra, and we hope that you will take an opportunity to join us either in person or online for that sacred music. Every Thursday during Lent, we have concerts here in the sanctuary that are also broadcast on live stream. You're invited to participate in those, and if you're here in person and want to join for lunch afterwards, just RSVP and let us know to count you in, and you can break bread together after the concert. More information about that in the bulletin. And this afternoon, finally, at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly service of Teze worship. This month, the service will be up in the fourth story theater. We'll have the labyrinth set up, so it'll be an opportunity for that contemplative practice along with the Teze worship. As we move into this time of worship, for those of you who may be with us for the first time or perhaps haven't been worshiping with us through the season of Lent, we're making our way through the baptismal vows and considering them one by one. This Sunday, we're taking the third baptismal vow and looking at the first part of it. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord? With that question before us, let us enter into this time of worship together.
Thank you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
We confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Jesus calls us into relationship.
Let us put our whole trust in His grace.
Our response to Christ's grace is to serve Him as Lord.
Let us confess. Let us trust. Let us serve. Let us worship.
God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. God who sees us, we confess that we have often failed to acknowledge your presence in our lives. We would rather run and hide than go public with our faith. We seek to comfort and assurance in the things that do not last, forgetting all the while that your love is unconditional and your grace is steadfast. We cling tightly to our possessions instead of placing them in your service. Forgive us, loving God. Help us to welcome you into our homes and our hearts. Teach us to share boldly all that you have done for us. Gently open your hearts that we may share with others and receive the blessing of the Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ, you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Today's reading is a lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children. And if you are here in the sanctuary, come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screen and we will wave to you. Good morning, good morning. Good to see all of you. Are you good? Me too. I'm good too. Wow, this is wonderful. What a big group we have today. I'm so happy to see all of you, each and every one. One of the things that we talk about in church, and if you go to Sunday school, I'm sure you talk about it sometimes in Sunday school, is prayer and how to pray. And you know what? There are so many different ways to pray. Sometimes we say a prayer when we sit down to eat. We say grace to thank God for the food. Sometimes we close our eyes and close our hands to be really still and focus on God. Sometimes we pray while we're walking. Sometimes we pray while we're dancing. We pray when we're together in worship. Anytime at all, we can pray and we can talk to God. One of the things that helps me to pray is to close my eyes and imagine that Jesus is sitting right next to me and to just talk to him like a friend. And then I can say anything I need to say and know that Jesus is right there with me. We just heard a story about Zacchaeus. Any of you heard of Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. Did you ever sing that song? If you come to Vacation Bible School, I bet you'll learn that song. But he was kind of lonely. There were a lot of people who didn't like Zacchaeus very much. And really, he wasn't always a very nice person. But Jesus came to town and offered to be his friend. And that changed Zacchaeus's life. He started being nice to people, and he realized that God loved him. And so I think about Jesus sometimes as a friend, and I hope that you will too, and that you'll take any time you need to just to sit down and talk to him in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for being our friend, that you love us no matter what. And when we feel lonely or scared, or happy, we can always talk to you and know that you'll love us no matter what. Help us to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Chris, Mr. Chris. You're 3. Good. Well, you get to go to Children's Church. And if you're older than that or younger than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. 4 and a half. You fit right in to Children's Church. Some of you know that we spent the past week on spring break visiting colleges with our child who's a junior in high school. So we all saw all different kinds of campuses and different kinds of experiences, and it was a lot of fun, at least for me. Brought back a memory one afternoon as we were walking through the student union at one of the campuses, and I was also thinking about the sermon this Sunday and the third baptismal vow, that a memory came to me of an afternoon in college when I was walking through the student union, and there were two students I'd never met before who came up to me and said, hey, can we ask you a question? I said, sure. And their question was, do you have a relationship with Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And I sort of stood there with my mouth open because I had grown up in the church. I was born into the Methodist church, was baptized as a baby. I had been confirmed. Even at the age of 8 at my family camp meeting, I had walked down the center aisle of that church and told Jesus that I wanted to follow him for the rest of my life. As a young child, I had a deep sense of God's presence in my life and that God was one I could talk to and who loved me. And so the answer to their question, I believed, was yes, but I'd never been asked it in that way, in that kind of setting, by total strangers. And so I think I said something like, yes, I'm Methodist, and then went on my way with my bagel chips back to my dorm room. I wonder if any of you have ever had that experience. Had a stranger come and ask you something like that, a deep question about the faith and your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I understand that the folks who approached me did so with good intentions and from a heart of and a place of love, but my experience in that moment was that I felt judged. I felt that they didn't know me or really want to know me, but just to know if I fit into the box of the way they understood a Christian should be. And it didn't feel like I was being invited into a loving community. And yet here we are on this Sunday as we've made our way through the baptismal vows, and we land on this third question, and it sure does sound a lot like their question. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord. We hear this question a lot. We have a lot of baptisms these days in our congregation, which is such a blessing. We reaffirm our own answers to these questions at least once a year in the service of reaffirmation of baptism. And so, as a community who know and love one another, not strangers to one another, we do ask this question and we respond. But what does it mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me to say that Jesus Christ is my Savior? And that I trust wholeheartedly in His grace, and that I promise to serve Him and Him alone as my Lord. It might help us to think about what the word save means. When it appears in the New Testament, the word has a rich meaning that can be liberate, it can mean rescue, it can mean heal or make whole. So how are we saved? By God through Jesus. To help us dig into that question, we have before us today the story of Zacchaeus. At the end of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, he announces that today salvation has come to this house. He says that Zacchaeus has been saved. So, what is it that Zacchaeus has been saved from, and what is he saved for? How is Zacchaeus saved by Jesus? And might that give us a clue about how Jesus is saving us too? What do we know about Zacchaeus? Not much, except that he was small. He was short of stature. We know that he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now that tells us a lot about Zacchaeus. You may know that the Roman Empire occupied the land of Judea, the town of Jericho. And so people were living under the thumb of empire. And the empire would tax the Jews as a way of keeping them in line, keeping them oppressed. And the tax collectors were often fellow Jews who collaborated with the Roman government to collect taxes from their own people. And often they would charge extra. The Roman government didn't care really how much they charged as long as the government got what they wanted. And so the tax collectors could get rich off the oppression of their own people. And for Zacchaeus to be a chief tax collector and rich, it meant that he was very deeply involved in this oppressive system that was keeping his own people under the thumb of empire. But you can only imagine how his neighbors felt about him. He was not well-liked or trusted. So it could be, and this is speculation, it could be that Zacchaeus was also a little lonely, a little outcast. Maybe he held on tightly to his riches because that was the one thing that gave him a sense of worth in his life. We don't know his reasons for becoming a chief tax collector, but I can imagine it was complicated. And there was a lot of animosity coming towards Zacchaeus. The only other thing we know is that he was just a little curious about Jesus. For whatever reason, he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was passing through town, and there are other places in the scriptures where Jesus is accused of being a friend to tax collectors. Maybe that word had gotten to Zacchaeus, and he wanted to see this prophet, this teacher who was a friend to tax collectors. And so, because he is short of stature, he climbs up in a tree just to get a peek at Jesus. Just on the sidelines, doesn't want to engage in any way, just wants to see. And before he knows it, there's Jesus. Right there, the foot of the tree. And he looks up and he calls Zacchaeus by name. How did he know Zacchaeus' name? Makes me think he knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. He knew Zacchaeus' story. He knew how much everybody hated Zacchaeus. And yet of all the people in Jericho, Jesus goes to Zacchaeus and invites himself into Zacchaeus' house. Hurry and come down, Zacchaeus, for I must stay at your house today. Now that word stay is also translated sometimes dwell or abide. Zacchaeus, I must abide with you. Jesus seems to be inviting Zacchaeus into a relationship, a friendship, where Zacchaeus is known by his name and not by his title of chief tax collector, where Jesus is not afraid to come into his home, even given his reputation and given some of his misdeeds or whatever he has been or has done. Jesus just offers himself in relationship. And Zacchaeus scrambles down from the tree and is happy, thrilled to welcome Jesus. He welcomes Jesus into his home, into his life, into his heart. And there is a relationship and overflowing grace. And out of that encounter, Zacchaeus is transformed. He is liberated from this oppressive system that he's been participating in. For he gives half of his possessions to the poor, and if he's defrauded anyone of anything, he'll pay it back four times over, which is well beyond what the law would require. Now he knows who he is, because Jesus looks at everyone in the crowd and says, he too is a child of Abraham. He too is a child of God. And now it's no longer his money or his title or his success or his loneliness or his outcastness that tell him who he is. It is his relationship with God through Jesus that has saved him, has liberated him, has healed him, has made him whole, has restored him to the community. And now he can live his life in a new way. So the question for us is, how does Jesus do the same with us? Perhaps we can imagine ourselves up in that sycamore tree with all of the weight that we carry, the labels. Perhaps we recognize in Zacchaeus our own tendency to cling to our possessions or our status or our achievements to tell us who we are. Perhaps we can identify with his loneliness and his sense of being outcast and unworthy to be part of the community. Whatever it is that wants to tell us who we are, may we instead hear this morning the voice of Jesus calling us by name. Not looking at our titles or our deeds or all of the things, but seeing us just as we are. And inviting himself into our lives in relationship. Through these other baptismal vows, we have explored the what it means to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, this cosmic experience that we're all part of, what it means to resist injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, what it means to try and build the kingdom of God in the world around us. And we are about that work together, and there's so much work to do. We all come today weighed down with grief and pain and anxiety about what is happening in our world, from Ukraine to the streets of Nashville. And we know we have work to do. But this third baptismal vow reminds us that we cannot do that work without the living, loving, vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ that can empower us and remind us again and again who we are and give us what we need to be transformed and to transform the world. And so, my friends, in these next few moments, as Matt plays some contemplative music for us, I invite you to consider for yourself, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace? And do you promise to serve Him and Him alone as your Lord?
In response to this freeing love that we have through Jesus, I invite you to stand and embody your spirit and state your faith with me using number 883 in your hymnal, a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to this time of prayer, be assured that God hears what's on our hearts, whether you share it aloud or not. If you would like to share your prayer requests and concerns with our pastoral team and have us pray for you throughout the week, you can write them on one of the gray cards in the pew rack in front of you and put them in the offering box on your way out. Or if you're online, you are invited to go to the link on our website under Contact Us so we can pray for you. This morning, our sympathies are with Bill Miller and his family as they mourn the death of his sister-in-law, Helen Miller, who passed away on March 10th in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Our hearts are also with Jason Limbaugh and his family as they mourn the death of his father, Donald Limbaugh, who passed away on March 15th in Winchester, Tennessee. Services were held there on March 17th. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. God who seeks us. Often we find ourselves lost in the bustle of the world around us, desperately looking for you. We push, shove, and climb just to catch a glimpse of what you're doing in the world. But you see us. You call out to us, and you invite us into fellowship with you. Today, we pray for people who wait in difficult places and spaces. We pray for those who are suffering, for people struggling with employment and financial concerns, for those estranged from their loved ones, for those trapped in the grip of addiction, for those navigating mental illness, and for those enduring emotional and spiritual turmoil. May they feel seen by you. We pray for the needs of the world. We pray for peace where there is war and for justice where there is oppression. Guide world leaders as they navigate crucial decisions. Guide them towards what is good for all people. God, hear the things that we fail to say. See the things that we try to hide and heal the things within us that we believe beyond repair. We are grateful for your love that doesn't hold us back or hold us captive, but that liberates us and sets us free. And we ask that you hear us now as we pray together this prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we have the wonderful gift of hearing a ministry moment from Julia Sutherland.
Allergies. We're in Nashville, after all. Good morning. I am so happy to be invited here today. My family has a long history with your church, and I am glad of the reconnection. My name is Julia Sutherland, and I am executive director of the Village at Glencliff, a new community that provides people experiencing homelessness a dignified and caring place to recover after hospitalization. We offer Nashvillians a unique form of medical respite. Our founder, the Reverend Ingrid McIntyre, who is now pastor at Glencliff United Methodist, your mission church, I believe, and whose campus is our home, had a vision of bridge housing, layered with supportive services that lead to permanent housing. Many medical respites end after a certain number of days. At the Village, each resident lives in one of 10 of our 200 square foot homes, and we have additionally two larger 400 square foot homes that accommodate two people. They have access to health care through neighborhood health and through their discharging hospital, healthy food from the Nashville Food Project, and a commitment to guide them into permanent housing. Critically, we offer a safe space where they can begin to heal from the physical, emotional, and spiritual trauma of living on the streets. We are your 2022 Missions and Outreach Spotlight Grant recipient, I believe the inaugural. So thank you so much for this very generous grant that we will be receiving over the next 3 years. Some of you have already been on our campus and met some of our residents as you've delivered furniture and things for our first graduate, if you will, who is moving into his new apartment. He's very excited. Weston United Methodist stands out as one of our key partners, as you have not only provided financially for us, but you've been so generous with your resources. Your staff have supported our staff as we create processes in our first year and in my first few months. So thank you for that as well. We've come a long way, thanks to people like you who understand the importance of health equity, that as a community, we are only as resilient as our most vulnerable. Health equity, housing equity, is a conscious choice. We broke ground back in 2017 with many influential supporters present, including then Vice Mayor David Briley, who memorably asked for forgiveness as an elected official, saying eloquently, "Our culture, our community, our country has lost its way to a certain degree. We have designed a place, accepted a place, where there is too much violence, poverty, and where people do not have housing. We designed it. Politics is the art of possible. We need to be reminded of our North Star." He didn't quote from Deuteronomy 15, but I felt at the time that that was implied. Reverend McIntyre, through her vision, and Glencliff United Methodist provided us a kind of North Star. We welcomed our first resident in October, and since then we've been amazed to watch our first group of residents filter in, learn the responsibility of living in a home, and become stronger and healthier. Some of them now work with us on our campus, and others are starting to look for work off campus. We are currently raising money to renovate the kitchen that we share with Glencliff United Methodist into a commercial kitchen that will serve both of our organizations through various ministries. So any extra donations that you give to that will be kind of a two-for-one for you guys. For those of you who have not and wish to, I encourage you to tour, come and visit. Please reach out to me. And if you have any questions, I will be just outside on the way to Reed Hall after the service. Our residents asked me to sincerely thank you. One of them came with me earlier this week, and he wanted to be here today, but he didn't feel well enough. Thank you again for being open-handed and so freely lending to help us disrupt broken systems and transform individual lives. God bless you. Thanks.
What incredible work. Thank you. Now, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. In order for us to continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give using the options on the screen or in the chat. For those who are here in person, There are offering boxes in the narthex in the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. That's also where you can place those gray prayer request cards. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
just had to do a camp meeting song today. That's one we sing at my family camp meeting. I don't even need to look at the words. But it's an invitation to draw closer to Christ. May we continue on that walk of drawing nearer to Christ, that we may then be sent out in love and compassion and care to the world, to the ends of the earth. And may that journey give us peace. Amen.